your station for jazz and justice, WPFW, Washington.
Our next guest is John Jeter, journalist with Black Republic Media, who has just written a fantastic article about Rachel Corrie. John, welcome.
Thank you so much, Denise. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, it's always fun to have you. So let's just jump into it, because you and I are friends, so we can just jump right into it.
As friends.
Yes.
Co-conspirators.
Right, co-conspirators. Tell us, who was Rachel Corrie?
Rachel Corrie was a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, 23-year-old white woman from Olympia, Washington, which I believe is an hour outside of Seattle. In 2003, she was murdered, by the Israeli Defense Forces when she stood in front of a bulldozer that was attempting to raise a Palestinian home. Rachel was there as part of an international, the International Solidarity Movement, which was mostly, I believe, American and British, and I think mostly, if not all, white. And they were there to engage the Palestinian liberation movement. I think what's really interesting about Rachel Corrie's story is that she was killed by that bulldozer intentionally, almost certainly intentionally. But the thing is, I talked to her mother at length a few weeks ago, and her mother says that Rachel did not expect that that bulldozer would run over her. And the reason is because Rachel was white. And she knew that. So in other words, she was leveraging her white privilege to express solidarity with colonized people, the Palestinians in this particular case. And so that's why I wrote about Rachel Corrie. I think she's just an extraordinary example of how white people can be allies. I wish she had moved out from in front of that bulldozer. Right. She is someone who was just so important and could have done such great things. But the fact remains, she is a martyr, I think, and she is reminiscent of people like John Brown and Viola Liuzzo and real white allies to people of color that show us a way forward, right? We will begin to emerge from this oppression, Black people and white people and Palestinian people and all working people all around the world. We will begin to emerge from this oppression when white people understand that they are workers first, and they join with working class people all over the planet to fight back our common oppressor.
So when we hear words like ally and you know, it's been watered down, like woke, right, in these liberal circles. So what is an ally? What is, as Black folks, what should we expect? Can we expect something from allies?
I don't mean to, I'm not trying to promote violence, but I think Little Kim said it best. Ruger by the side for you, right hand high for you, right? Ride or die. The cost of liberation, as Malcolm X told us, is death. I don't want anyone to die. I don't want to kill anyone. I don't like violence, but we have to understand that violence is being inflicted upon particularly African descended people all over this world, and Palestinian people, Arab people, Latinos, particularly those who are of indigenous ancestry. It's being inflicted upon us all over the world. And if this is something that Bernadine Dorn told me once a few years ago. She said, you know, if you really hate violence, right, not just violence against yourself as a white person, if you really hate violence, then you will actually commit to stopping it against everyone. See, that's what we need from white people. We're going to get ahead if we're going to actually sort of see us begin to turn back. You know, you see these conditions all over the world. You see it in France now, where people are protesting this pension reform by Macron, who is a banker, right? You see it in Sri Lanka, where the IMF is basically taking over the country. You see it all over the world where we're trying to fight. It's rich against poor, workers against employers. But white people have it in their mind, most of them, not all, right? Richard Corey is a very good example of that. Most of them believe that they are white and not workers. And so they turn against their own. They work against their own class interests. We need them to be allies in the sense that they are willing to ride or die with us, right, in our struggle. Because the truth of the matter is the only time ordinary people progress, particularly in the United States, but really everywhere, is when the workers express, articulate a solidarity, a very real and robust solidarity in which we work together against our common oppressor. White people don't quite understand it. I say this all the time, Denise. I love the Italians and the Irish and the Germans and the Brits and the French and the Portuguese and the Spanish. But white people are something else, man. And that's just the truth of the matter, right? They were invented. Whiteness was invented to be a scab, right? It was invented to be a thing apart, to turn against the other segments of the working class so that we are divided and we are conquered. And that's exactly the state of mind we are in right now. Rachel Corrie is a model for all white people who want to join in solidarity with people of color and other working class people and fight our common oppressor.
Brother, there's not another question that I can ask that will give a more perfect closing on this conversation. Listen, we know that you are writing for Black Republic Media, this article on Rachel Corrie marking the 20th anniversary of her murder, dropped in with the Black Agenda Report. With 1 minute, tell us about your writing. Like, what's happening with you, Black Republic Media, and any other endeavor?
I should turn that back on you and say, you tell people about my writing. Well, you know, we're busy at work trying to build Black Republic Media, as your previous guest just said, into something, a vehicle that bears witness to especially the Black experience, right? Mostly in the United States, but really all over the world. People need to understand our suffering and our resistance, right? They need to understand that, because that's going to be a thing in the very real, in the very near future. The other thing I'm working on furiously is publishing my book, Class War in America, at classwarinamerica.com, in a few months. And that is basically about this issue we've talked about with Rachel Corrie, and the absence of white people in working class movements in the United States.
John, thank you very much. I so appreciate you. Thank you to all our guests, my co-host, Reverend Dr. Julianne Robertson, guest Miss Peggy King Yorda, and John Jeter. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I have to say a shout out to Dr. Reverend Julianne and also Miss King Yorda. You are absolutely women's history. Thanks to executive producer Miss Verner Avery Brown. This program is engineered by Mr. Michael Nasella. I'm Denise Young. Thank you to Dr. Marsha Coleman Adebayo for the opportunity to host in her absence. To the ancestors, survivors, and descendants of the River Road community in St. Helena, we will continue to fight for you. Gratitude to all of you who use your hands and voices for liberation. We are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the passage of the No Fear Act, the first civil rights law of the 21st century. We salute whistleblowers. Thank you for joining What's at Stake.